You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. Happy weekend, happy Saturday, and happy victory weekend, Timberwolves fans. I guess it's not quite a victory weekend yet because the Wolves have to turn around and play again in 24 hours after winning this one. But we'll call it a victory Saturday. How about that? The Timberwolves beat the Lakers by 24 on Friday night. This is the postgame podcast. We're going to break it all down. We're going to talk key takeaways from the game. We're going to talk Karl-Anthony Towns' big third quarter, what Patrick Beverley and Jared Vanderbilt brought to this game, D'Angelo Russell's hot shooting in this one. We'll do individual studs and duds as we always do, as well as a couple of key takeaways related to the defense and the game overall. This was a really fun one, really from start to finish. The Wolves never trailed by more than seven. They led by as many as 33. It was a lot of fun. So we're talking all things Wolves Lakers on this one. First though, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube as well as all the audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course the all new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. So this one, I want to actually focus a little bit here on the third quarter specifically, which was obviously the best quarter of the game. It was the most fun quarter if you're a Timberwolves fan. But that's where really kind of the game was decided. The Wolves were down five at halftime. The first half was kind of back and forth. The Wolves trailed by as many as seven. It kind of looked like it was teetering on the edge of disaster, but the Timberwolves reserve unit actually played really well in the first half. And there really wasn't all that much notable. There were only about 3 minutes of Naz Reid and Karl-Anthony Towns playing together in the first half, in the middle of the second quarter, and it didn't go that great. It was more because the Lakers were playing well than anything the Wolves were doing wrong. We did see Torian Prince re-enter the rotation after he didn't play at all last time out on Wednesday. But this was, it was just kind of an up and down start to the game, and the Wolves were down by five at halftime. The third quarter, though, the Wolves came out of the locker room and basically dominated from the start of the third quarter. They scored the first bucket. They went on a quick, like, I think it was an Edwards three maybe, and then it was the Vanderbilt poke away, which was the big play, the one that they went back to on the Bally Sports North broadcast, when after a defensive rebound by, I think it was Anthony Davis, Vanderbilt came up behind him, poked the ball out. Vando's foot, actually, I think maybe both of his feet were actually out of bounds on the baseline, and it should have been called out of bounds on the Timberwolves. Official didn't see it. Vando pokes the ball away. The Timberwolves get a bucket out of it. And from that point forward, it was all Wolves. The third quarter itself, Karl-Anthony Towns is getting the headlines, and rightfully so. He should. And spoiler, he's going to be my number one stud for this game. He was the best player on the floor, and it wasn't close. However, he didn't score until after the midway point of the third quarter. It was like the 556 mark of the third quarter before Karl-Anthony Towns actually scored. And then he ended up scoring 15 points just in the third frame alone. But the first 6 minutes of that third quarter was mostly Patrick Beverley. There was a little bit of D'Lo. There was a little bit of Jared Vanderbilt hustle. Obviously, the big play when he poked the ball away. Edwards made a jumper after that. And the next time down the court, Russell scored on a layup. And then D'Lo went off. He hit a three-pointer. Patrick Beverley had a big three-point play mixed in there. A couple of other floaters by Patrick Beverley. And then Ant had a couple of shots. But Cat didn't hit a shot until the Wolves were already up by 11. And then Karl-Anthony Towns hit a step-back jumper from beyond the arc on a nice pass from Jared Vanderbilt. And at that point, that stretched the lead to 14. After that, there was the weird coaches challenge where Towns was fouled by Davis, but then after the challenge, which was unsuccessful, they kept the foul on Davis, but also gave a technical to Towns for I guess his arm flailed and hit Anthony Davis in the groin region on his drive to the hoop, which I don't understand the unsuccessful challenge, but still there's a technical. It's weird. It doesn't matter. Whatever. But Beasley actually hit a three-pointer that was mixed in there. And then Towns just finished the third quarter just on fire. He made it off. He had an offensive rebound, put the ball back. He had the 0.5 seconds on the shot clock, split the defenders, catch and shoot with half a second left on the shot clock from straight away for a three-pointer. He had a couple of other tough shots, a corner three down the stretch in the third. Ended up with 15 points in the third quarter alone. And that was basically it. He played the first 3 or 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, then was down for the rest of the game. The Wolves went on a 27-2 run in the third quarter, and they outscored the Lakers 40-12 in the third. And according to Jim Peterson on the Bally Sports North broadcast, so I'm assuming Jim's information is correct. The 40-12 third quarter differential or third quarter score was the second greatest deficit the Lakers have ever faced in the shot clock era as a franchise in the shot clock era. So going back some, 35, 40 years, the second greatest point differential or deficit the Lakers have faced in a single quarter at any point, 40-12. It was one quarter, but it was a really, really good quarter for the Timberwolves, for Karl-Anthony Towns, for Patrick Beverley. We'll talk more about Pat Bev here in a minute. But credit to Towns. I mean, the first part of the game, he did a lot of his damage inside the arc. And after the game on Wednesday, I talked a lot on the show about, and actually on Friday's show, I spent almost a whole segment talking about Karl-Anthony Towns' offensive game, the struggles he's had shooting twos this year, his points per possession in the post, his point per possession as a screener in the pick and roll. It's all down this year. In this game, he made a concerted effort to score inside, and he scored with a little bit of finesse, a little bit of brute force, but not as much of the flailing or the weirdly like turned up sense of urgency that sometimes he has when smalls get on him or teams double him or whatever. He kept his composure early in the game, and he didn't attempt a three until he was 5, 6, 7 field goal attempts into the game, and then all of a sudden it was a flurry of three pointers. And I'm not going to sit here. I'm not an old school, you got to go from the inside out. You got to establish. It's almost like in the NFL, establishing the run game, right? But in the NBA, it's you always hear the guys from the 90s, right? You got to establish your post game. You got to work from the inside out. It opens up the shooting from outside the arc. The modern game would tell you it's the reverse. Towns can do both. It doesn't really matter. But after a game where he attempted, I think he attempted just one two-pointer in Wednesday's loss, whoever they lost to on Wednesday at this point, who knows, what was Wednesday. It's already really running together. Memphis was Monday. So what was Wednesday? The Warriors game, goodness. The Warriors game on Wednesday, he attempted 1 2-point shot. In this game, it was all 2-pointers until the third quarter. And then it was just a bevy of 3-pointers made by Karl-Anthony Towns. And he ended up making 4 of 8 from outside the arc, and inside the arc, Towns shot 7 of 9 from inside the arc. So flip on its head what he did the other night. We all know Karl-Anthony Towns can make 2-point shots. That was obviously something of an anomaly, but there's a little bit to it regarding how games are being officiated this year. And also the way that teams have been defending Karl-Anthony Towns. And this was quintessential Cat. Scoring inside and then scoring outside, making 50% of his threes. Didn't get to the free throw line a ton, but that wasn't that was just kind of the way that this game worked, right? The flow of this game, there weren't actually that many foul calls. The Wolves actually only had 12 free throw attempts as a team in this one. But this was exactly what we needed to see from Cat. That was the whole third quarter, essentially. At that point, it was a double digit lead going to the fourth. The lead ballooned to as many as 33. And then the Lakers made back some ground in garbage time. But that's the focus of this game for me, was Cat's performance and also Patrick Beverley, Anthony Edwards, Jared Vanderbilt, but that third quarter was amazing. What I want to do next is I want to look at the key takeaways overall, not specific to Cat, key takeaways for the team. And then we'll close the show today by talking about individual studs and duds, as we always do after every single Timberwolves game. First, though, let's talk about the title sponsors from today's show, and that, of course, is McDonald's. This episode of Lockdown Wolves is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group, knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. Road trips are when my family goes to McDonald's the most. If I'm working late during the week, I'll stop and get a McDouble and fries, but sausage egg McMuffins are the favorite, myself, my kids, that plus cheeseburger Happy Meals, obviously. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Wolves watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Let's also talk about betonline.ag. We're back and we're better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball to football, NHL to boxing and UFC, right on down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 and 2022 seasons. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, let's go ahead and talk key takeaways from this one. Number one, rebounding. I talked about a little bit on the preview show, and I didn't spend a ton of time specifically on the matchup, but at the end of the show on Friday, I talked about how the Lakers weren't a great rebounding team. I think they were 26th in defensive rebound rate heading into this game. The Wolves, of course, have been dead last basically since day one. They've been one of the league's worst defensive rebounding teams for years now. But this was one of the games where, you know, no LeBron, we knew Rajon Rondo was questionable coming into this game. There was a chance, depending on how the Lakers played this thing, that the Wolves could actually do fairly well in the glass. That's exactly what happened. DeAndre Jordan didn't see a minute. It's the only game all season he hasn't played, and he's actually started most of the Lakers games this year. He did not play a minute in this game, and that was a massive boon to the Timberwolves' chances on the glass. The Wolves were a plus 10 when it was all said and done, but it was more like plus 20 until it was garbage time. The Wolves ended up with 54 rebounds overall to the Lakers' 44. And the Wolves also didn't have anybody that had more than 7 rebounds in this game, interestingly, which means it was an overall absolute team effort. Towns, Beverly, and Okogie all had 7 rebounds. By the way, Josh Okogie had 7 rebounds in just 14 minutes of play. So Josh was ultra aggressive on the glass. The Wolves also had 14 offensive rebounds only. The Lakers had 11 offensive rebounds. And the Wolves the Lakers are a decent offensive rebounding team, as are the Timberwolves. And the Wolves did a pretty good job of keeping the Lakers' chances to one and done. So number one, rebounding. And a big part of that was Jared Vanderbilt starting in this game. He only had 6 rebounds. He also only played 18 minutes, but he was ultra active. We'll talk more about him here in a minute. I guess a little bit of a spoiler for Studs and Duds, but, you know, if the Wolves can be plus 10 on the glass with Karl Anthony Towns only grabbing 7 rebounds, take that every night of the week. And that was a massive part of this game was the Wolves' ability to secure rebounds. And they obviously, by the way, were making a concerted effort to crash the glass on both sides of the floor. Very rarely were there Timberwolves perimeter players leaking out to try and get out and transition on defense, defense to offense. It was mostly crashing the glass, which is exactly what the Wolves needed to do in a game like this. Also defensively, the activity was back. The Timberwolves had slid all the way from, you know, top 5 defense. That was a top 10 defense. And it's just kind of been backsliding a little bit. I think heading into this game, the Wolves were like 17 or 18 in defensive rating on Basketball Reference. And this was a really good defensive game. Yes, the Lakers couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. I get that. They shot 35% from the field, 9 of 41 outside the arc, 22%. They did miss some open shots. However, the Timberwolves were contesting shots. They did a really good job in terms of their activity on defense. They were scrambling. They did an outstanding job of Xing out in this game. In that when the ball swings to the corner, the player that's closest, even if it's not his man, is running out to contest the corner three. And then when the ball swung to the wing, the low man is who initially had been guarding the man in the corner is Xing back the other way to pick up the man on the wing. And the Wolves, there were multiple occasions where they did that and contested the Lakers into a miss. It was really impressive. And then off of that, defensive rebounding, and I like to talk about this a lot on the show, defensive rebounding ends the possession, right? There's what, 3 ways you can end a possession: a turnover, a made shot, or a rebound, a defensive rebound. So if you're not getting a turnover, which the Wolves have done a pretty good job at turning other teams over, and the Lakers turn the ball over a lot, and you're not giving up a made shot, which is obviously the goal, then you got to secure the rebound. And that's one of the reasons why defensive rebounding is defense. It's ending the possession. I think that gets overlooked too often. And so the Wolves did a great job contesting shots and making life difficult for the Lakers from the perimeter, especially, but then also ending the possession by securing rebounds, limiting second chance opportunities. And that was a full team effort. All this was Xing out on the perimeter, scrambling, when they were just trying to catch up to the ball on the defensive end of the floor, scrambling to contest shots on the perimeter, collapsing in the paint to try and grab rebounds. And I mean, nobody on the Lakers really did much damage on the glass at all individually. And the Wolves, again, rebounded essentially five guys the entire game. So outstanding job on the defensive end of the floor. As for the offense, the flow is much better. There was some lulls, kind of second quarter-ish, I think. The offense is a little bit rough, or I guess it was really more first quarter, but first half in general, the offense was a little bit rough. But eventually there was a bit of a flow, and it wasn't rigid, you know, play calls. It wasn't the Ryan Saunders, like, you know, basically a play sheet, like the wristbands in football, not actually, but kind of, you know, we know that Chris Finch wants to play a read and react offense. He wants to give his players the ability to be more free flowing and make decisions and do what makes sense based on the flow of the game and everything. And there's kind of been this, Wolves Twitter is obviously understandably conflicted at this point, because coming into this game, the Wolves are 3-7, six losses in a row. Can this team even play that way? Like, you know, can Anthony Edwards, as a 20-year-old, and D'Lo is a guy who apparently needs some sort of structure in order to stay on script, and Kat, who is just getting a little bit overzealous because he wants to win so badly, and all this stuff, can they really play a read and react, stick to their guns, stick to the plan, and do the right thing, but still play this free-flowing offense? Well, this was a great example of it. The Wolves weren't calling very many, like, rigid sets, like, hey, we're doing this. There was actual movement. There was successful pick and roll action, both starters and reserves, and, you know, reading and reacting out of the pick and roll, a good feel. Adilo, he had a couple really rough patches in this game and some really bad turnovers, but there were some nice pocket passes. There were some nice, the way that he was kind of deciphering what the Lakers were doing and actually making the right reads more often than not in this game was really refreshing to see. We just saw generally smart decision-making and constant movement. There wasn't much ball stopping. There was hardly any isolation in this game, and it worked outstanding. And a lot of that is because the Wolves were actually making shots, which, by the way, is a reason why we shouldn't panic too much about the offense in the first 10 games of the season, because they were mostly getting the shots they wanted. They've mostly been getting open perimeter jumpers. They've mostly been getting, shots that you'd want to get, right? They were just missing them. In this game, they made them. They ended up only shooting 32% from three-point range, 32.4%. But a lot of that was Malik Beasley and Anthony Edwards, who both had poor games. Otherwise, I mean, D'Lo was 5-9. Kat was 4-8. I mean, what's that? 9-17. So above 50% for the Wolves' best two offensive players, or most, I should say, the best two offensive players in this game. And when this game was in the balance in the third quarter, that's when they made a bunch of those threes. So if the Wolves, who have, how many guys in the Wolves should be 40% three-point shooters? Kat, D'Lo, Malik Beasley, at least three of them. Anthony Edwards is probably a mid-30s guy. The Wolves are going to shoot threes at a better clip as the season goes on, because, again, they're getting some open looks. They have been getting open looks. They just need to start falling, and they need to stop devolving into the isolation stuff that they so often do. And by they, I mean mostly Anthony Edwards, but also D'Lo and Kat at times. And they did a great job in this game of not devolving into that and just kind of maintaining that flow of, like, pick and roll, you know, side pick and roll into other actions, and going from fast break into a secondary break into, like, something resembling an actual half court offense without the rigid play calls. And this was a great example of that. And the Lakers, by the way, are not a bad defensive team. I get that they don't have LeBron, but even without them, without LeBron, they've been a pretty good defensive team this year. They had Rajon Rondo. They had Avery Bradley. They had, obviously, Anthony Davis. And, I mean, outside of Avery Bradley and the job he did on Anthony Edwards, we'll talk about that here in just a minute. I mean, it's hard to like, the Wolves putting up 107 on this Lakers defense and shooting 46% from the field overall. Not bad. You know, the turnovers, there was some sloppy play at times, but generally speaking, the offense was much improved. And the Clippers are a team that, you know, they'll face again in 24 hours, Saturday night, same building in LA. that's a team that the Wolves should be able to score on. And they did a little bit last week. We saw the Wolves build a 20-point lead last time they played the Clippers and then give it all back and then some. But that's another winnable game if the Wolves just do what they did on Friday at Staples. Okay, I want to finish the show by talking individual studs and duds. We're going to do that next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving. All of the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and just 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for you when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, you can go for a Built Bar or two now. Share some at your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. And maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet, but she should. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's talk individual studs and duds. This one's actually pretty easy. Number one, Karl-Anthony Towns. Third quarter, he was phenomenal. He had, I think, 9 points at halftime. Again, made some two-pointers early in the game, was active in the paint, offensive rebounding in the first quarter, and then was, you know, hadn't really attempted threes, had a quiet second quarter. The minutes with Naz Reid weren't great. They actually sat him at the end of the second quarter for a couple of minutes. He was out from like the 3:30 mark until the last offensive possession. Finch gave Towns a rest. But he came back in the third and, again, didn't score in the first 6 minutes of the third, but then he went off. 15 points in under 6 minutes in the third quarter. Finished the game with 29 points on 11 of 17 shooting, 4 of 8 on three-point attempts. And, again, that means he was 7 of 9 inside the arc, 3 of 3 on free throws. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 0 turnovers for Karl-Anthony Towns in this game. That means no offensive fouls. No silly passes out of a double or triple team that are just wild and crazy. No, you know, traveling, trying to get around a double team. It was a clean game from Kat. 7 rebounds, fine. He only played 30 minutes. 29 points on 17 shots every day of the week. The Timberwolves will take that. This was a very impressive, under control performance from Karl-Anthony Towns. Very refreshing to see. So, there's nothing else to say. It was just outstanding. He was able to do damage both inside and outside the arc, which is the optimal game, kind of the way that a game would shake out for Karl-Anthony Towns. Number two on my list of stars for the Timberwolves, of studs for the Timberwolves in this one, Jared Vanderbilt. He only had 4 points, 6 rebounds, only shot 2 of 4, only played 18 minutes, but man, strong play early in the first quarter. And the Wolves were good when he was on the floor. They didn't fall behind until he headed to the bench. Outstanding play early in the third quarter, tipping the ball away from Anthony Davis and getting the Wolves their first bucket of the third because of his steal. And then there were a couple of other plays where he tipped the ball away as well. He ended up with 3 steals in this game too. So 4 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists and a block, 0 turnovers for Vando, which is also significant because he doesn't touch the ball often, but he doesn't have great hands. And so when he touches the ball on offense, it doesn't always turn out well. It was 2 of 4 from the field. He made one really tough play that was basically an alley-oop. He was off balance, kind of crashed to the floor, but made an awesome, a really impressive layup. He was, for what it's worth, again, noisy single game plus minus, I get it, a plus 31 in this game in just 18 minutes. The energy, the activity, the rebounding, the defense, he had for the most part, he ended up guarding Anthony Davis at times, and Anthony Davis was fine. He shot 7 of 13, 22 points for AD. But, when Vando was on him, he did a good job. And, 4-6, 3 steals, 2 assists, and a block for Jared Vanderbilt in this one. My third stud for this game is Patrick Beverley. 11 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 of 6 shooting in this game. And he didn't make a three-pointer. His only miss was outside the arc. He was 5 of 5 inside the arc. A variety of floaters and layups. Got to the cup a couple of times, pretty much unimpeded. Again, 11.7 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, only 1 turnover, was really good in the third quarter. Kind of got overshadowed because then Cat went bonkers. But Pat Bev was awesome in the third quarter. Very good defensively. Had a very measured performance in this one. Didn't get too high or too low, which isn't always the case for Patrick Beverly. One note, I did not have D'Angelo Russell on my studs list. He was great in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, actually early fourth, especially when the lead got stretched to 30 plus, but that's partially why he did hit the studs list. Until that happened, he was tracking to be on my list of duds for the game. He had 4 turnovers in this one in 34 minutes, and there were a couple of really bad ones, a couple of really ill-advised shots, missed layups. This was a tale of, again, for D'Lo, a tale of two D'Los, right? When he's bad, he's really bad. He doesn't add anything defensively. And when he's good, he's completely unstoppable. And for like basically the first 2.5 quarters, it was bad D'Lo. And then all of a sudden he showed up to the party, remembered he was playing a former team and wanted to have a revenge game at Staples, and ended up with 22 points on 8 of 19 shooting in 34 minutes, 5 of 9 on threes, 7 assists, 5 rebounds and a steal. He did have 4 turnovers, but he was also a team best, a game best, obviously, plus 36 in just 34 minutes. Overall, it's a good D'Lo game, but when the Wolves needed him, until it was already basically a 20 point game at that point, D'Lo didn't do a whole lot offensively. But if we could bottle again, and we say this every couple of games with D'Angelo Russell, if we could bottle that last quarter and a half that D'Lo played and just kind of copy and paste that, then yeah, I mean, he's an all-star. That's the all-star D'Lo, is the one that played the end of the third and the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. But the D'Lo that's in the first half is barely playable. It just was really, really bad. And that's the frustrating thing with D'Angelo Russell. I think fans of the Lakers, Nets, and Warriors, and Timberwolves would all attest to that, that if we could just keep the good D'Lo around, we'd be in a lot better shape. But it was a lot of fun when he was playing really well. So I want to make sure I recognize that. All right, duds for this game. Anthony Edwards gets a dud. This is the first time in a really long time we've said that. He actually wasn't that bad. It was just he turned it over 5 times in 32 minutes and was most guys in the Wolves played well. So, I mean, here we go. He lost his double-digit streak, which I forget how far back that goes, but sometime middle of last year. He had 9 points and 4 of 11 shooting. Was only 1 of 5 on threes. Missed a couple of wide-open three-point attempts. 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 5 turnovers. He's going to play 32 minutes. He's got to grab more than 3 rebounds and have more than 1 assist, especially if he's going to turn it over 5 times. He just didn't have the ball in his hands that much in this game. Avery Bradley got up in his grill a lot early, especially in the first half. And even though Avery Bradley is not the defender he was, 6-7 years ago in Boston, he's still a good defender. He's physical, and he wanted to get after it with Ant. You could tell that the Lakers were loading up to stop Anthony Edwards. And ultimately, the Wolves just didn't run their offense through Ant in this game. It was a lot of Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, who, of course, combined to score, 51 points in this game on a really efficient, 11 of 36 shooting. 19 of 36 shooting. Ant was only 4 of 11 with the 5 turnovers, but only had the 1 assist. And again, only attempting the 11 shots in 32 minutes is also surprising for Anthony Edwards. And that goes to show you how not involved he really was in the offense. And that's okay. That's going to happen from time to time. But when he did get his opportunities, you could tell he was pressing and he didn't really do much positively. That said, we can all expect Anthony Edwards to have a much bigger game against the Clippers on Saturday night after having a quiet one on Friday. The other dud for me is Malik Beasley. I spent most of Friday's show calling for him to be a starter. I'm not recanting that because I do think, again, I think this is beneficial for both parties. I think if Beasley plays more with the starters, he'll improve, as will the starting unit. As it stands, Malik Beasley played 25 minutes, the most of anybody off the bench, and actually overall the fourth most on the team behind Russell, Towns, and Edwards. 2 of 10 shooting for Malik Beasley, 1 of 7 outside the arc, 5 points in 25 minutes, 3 rebounds and assist, and 3 turnovers, which is tough to do because Malik doesn't initiate a lot of offense. He doesn't dribble very much, right? He's a catch-and-shoot guy. He's a transition guy. He had 3 turnovers in this game and shot 2 of 10. So that's an easy, easy addition to the dud list for me. Another example of plus-minus being noisy. He was a plus 11 in this game in 25 minutes, but the Wolves won by 25, and he was on the floor for a lot of them building that lead up to 30-plus points. But it wasn't really thanks to him. He was missing open shots. There was some, you know, he had some good activity. He continues to try defensively. He continues to be willing to squeeze the trigger from outside the arc, which is great. And it's interesting. We're already seeing him dribble drive and try and get into the mid-range, the 10, 15 footers, a lot more than the last 2 years. And I don't know if he's just trying to get himself kickstarted and he feels more confident shooting those. It's really strange. But whatever's going to get him going, because the Wolves will ultimately, if they're going to make the play-in this year, they need Malik Beasley to do something. And outside of maybe two games this season, he hasn't been very good. So Malik and Anthony Edwards both get duds for this game, where Kat Vando and Patrick Beverley are the studs. All right, that's all we have for you in the show. Wolves, of course, play the Clippers again Saturday night. We don't need to preview that. They played them twice already just last week. This will be game three of the season for Wolves and Clippers. And the first two games were relatively close. The Clippers led the first one for much of it, but the Wolves were in it until late. The second game, the Wolves were up 20 and ended up losing by more than 20. So we'll see what happens at Staples on Saturday night. We will have another a post-game podcast either late Saturday or early Sunday at some point, recapping the Wolves-Clippers game. So be sure, if you're not already following or subscribed to the show, that you do that. Thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day, even on the weekends when the Timberwolves play. And remember, Locked On Wolves is free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. And if you don't want to see my face, you can listen to just my voice on Apple, Google, Spotify, or the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.